97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as hotline sponsor Fairway Cars. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Sean Fox, the man, the myth, the legend, joining me in this first segment from the Coldwell Banker Group One Realty Studio in West Monroe, while I'm at the Scott's Catfish and Seafood Studios in Ruston. How's it going, my friend?
Pleasure to be here, Ford. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go check them out. All your interior decorating needs, 111 North Trenton Street in the historic Rogers Furniture Building, 318-255-7698. Louisiana Tech, of course, coming off a 45-20 loss on the road in Stark Vegas, a term that has kind of caught on.
Taking a life of it. They've embraced it.
They have. It goes back to the whole, you talked about it Monday, Fox, like Tech embracing La Tech. If people are going to call you that, instead of fighting it, just embrace it.
And they certainly have.
They absolutely have. Fox, of course, Tech jumps out to a 14-0 lead in that one, and I think it probably teased Louisiana Tech fans a little bit, thinking that the game was going to turn out differently. But the final outcome was not different than anybody expected it to be.
I think the frustrating thing is, you're right, Ford. I think most of us wanted, obviously, we all wanted Louisiana Tech to win. Most of us thought that Mississippi State would win. The frustrating thing for me with this game, Ford, is yes, I thought Mississippi State would win, but I didn't think they were 45-20 better than Louisiana Tech. And there were certainly opportunities, even though we all thought State would win. The frustrating thing, this is the most frustrating game of the season for me, even more than Kansas State, because I do think there were some opportunities there to win that football game.
And, you know, I know that fans are getting tired of hearing that we were close, and just like the Kansas State game, we were close. And really, Tech deserved to win at Kansas State.
They outplayed them.
They didn't deserve to win in Stark Vegas Saturday. But mistakes on defense and mistakes on offense, they made one that would turn into 6 points on offense, the interception that was returned for a touchdown. Mm. And then special teams, you give up a blocked punt, which it really is almost mind-boggling that they didn't see the block on, but they didn't. And as Coach Holt said yesterday, the right guard blocked no one. So that never bodes well. But then you look at the touchdown to the receiver in the back of the end zone where he was wide open and Xavier Woods is right there next to him. I don't know what it's going to take for Tech safeties to play in position. They get out of position and they're getting torched. Defense is not a difficult concept, but it's not simple. You have to be. It's more of a team aspect than offense is.
It's fair to say that the Bulldogs sit at 4-3, and their three losses, there's two common denominators. And, of course, you study the film a lot. Jaws closer than I do. But two common denominators in all three losses: special teams and blown coverage.
Without a doubt.
Have been the two biggest bugaboos on Louisiana Tech this year. And we had some calls on our show yesterday about the difference in defense. And granted, I'm a Blake Baker guy, and I was one who was advocating for him to get the job. The defensive system, Jonathan, has stayed the same pretty much from Manny Diaz to Blake Baker. So people say, what is the problem? This was a secondary that came in very ballyhooed coming into this season. I think it might be as simple as there's no Houston Bates. I think it's a Jimmy and Joe problem as much as it is X's and O's. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's been the biggest difference. As far as the lineup, the secondary's been pretty much the same.
Well, no, and to an extent. I mean, Jalen Ferguson's come on in the last couple of games. Vontarious Dorr is a good pass rusher. I don't think teams are holding on to the ball as long as they were last year. They watched Tech's tape last year. They knew what was coming. Let's dink and dunk them, because that's
sure
Tech allows you
it's
to.
It's working.
Tech doesn't have any problems with giving up the five yard pass. They've made that clear. And really, Mississippi State was okay with it Saturday. You give up the 5 yard pass and make them earn it. Make them make a mistake so that you can get off the field and just don't get beat deep. And for the most part, Tech didn't get beat deep. They just, like I said, in the play to the big 6'5 receiver. Normally a 6'5 receiver, you worry about him going up and getting it, and the ball was delivered right between the numbers. It was. You can't let a guy in your zone when he's within 5 feet of you just sit in the back of the end zone and catch the ball for a touchdown.
I had a horror flashback. It was a nightmare. It was eerily similar to the Kansas State game on third and goal from the 20. Once again, a long touchdown. And those kinds of plays are backbreakers, Jonathan. And I'll tell you, I know the thing is, thank goodness. Look, they got a pretty good quarterback coming in to Russell this weekend in Stockstill, and I know you're going to talk more about him, but I don't think there's anybody more maddening to watch play college football than Dak Prescott. And obviously, Stockstill is no Dak Prescott. But I think what makes them so frustrating is there was one real, what I call, big explosive play. That was the one where he rolled to the left and threw it deep. I think it was a 40-something yard pass.
Yeah, 45-yard of Fred Brown.
But he runs that particular, and again, I say it's maddening to watch. He runs that offense to perfection, where it's not really built for long passing plays. It's just an offense where they stay in front of the chains, and you're looking at second and five, third and three, third and two, and with that beast back there, he's going to fall forward for a first down just about every time.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, that's. Tech has a big quarterback like that. I don't know why on a third and short they don't line up under center and just say, Jeff, go get it.
I'm with you.
We haven't seen it yet. I think it's probably coming. But Jason Jones, the fellow Twin Tower of radio in Ruston, Louisiana, joining us here in the Scott's Catfish and Seafood Studios.
Man, that's a tongue twister.
I heard you stumble over in our previous show, and it is kind of a tongue twister.
Hey, Fox, I'll agree with
you. It's
point.
Delicious.
I had a friend.
It is delicious.
I had a friend blowing up my phone the entire game. He kept saying that turning point was that third and one around the 50-yard line where we didn't go for it. We punted, or fourth and one. I'm sorry, and he just felt like Driscoll could have got that, and it just kind of. We had the lead, and we should have built on that momentum, and it just kind of was a momentum killer that they didn't use Driscoll in that spot. He's 6'5", just jump over the line.
Well, again, there's a reason that the coaches make the money they do. This is just Sean Fox talking here. I just had the feeling that they've put their eggs and look, the job is to win the conference. I get it, but without playing Henderson, without playing Dixon, and with some of the calls, I felt like it was one of those games. Let's go win. Let's see how we're looking, and let's get the heck out of there. Let's not get anybody injured. I just kept thinking to myself during that game, are they all in?
Well, and that goes back to the discussion I was listening to y'all a little bit earlier this afternoon with the ULM scheduling. You know, Tech used to get smoked playing Auburn and Texas A&M and Miami all in the same year, and they'd get beat up, and then it's hard to win in your conference. You know, those were in the early days of the WAC. Well, then you saw a shift, and you start seeing games against, in 2011, Mississippi State and Ole Miss before mm-hmm. they were as good as they are this year.
Virginia, Illinois,
Kansas. Kansas should have been a win. You know, scheduling smarter, you're still getting paid. Maybe you're only getting a $700,000 check instead of a $1.1 million check, but you have a chance to win. And so Mississippi State, I agree with scheduling them 100%. They're coming back to Ruston here in a couple of years. That's going to be great. But you start seeing some of these games on the schedule coming up, Clemson, Texas, you know, those are going to be tough. And
going on that token, at least the Texas game, and I can't remember if Clemson is or not, Texas is the only money game of that year. And in my opinion,
oh, yeah.
if you can get to that, and even if you are playing Alabama, you play one of them.
Oh, yeah,
You get it all out of the way, and then you are fresh for 11 more games.
Play one huge payday or two medium-sized paydays, but not three, medium or larger. I think that would help. But then again, you got to sell those tickets and make that money up somewhere.
And text buy date being so late in the season is honestly crippling them. Skip did talk about the projected five starters on his depth chart going into week one, or in fall camp. They haven't played on the field together a single time. While that sounds like an excuse to a fan, there's some merit to it.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of merit to it because you're having to play freshmen. But I will say, after 9 weeks, they get three bye weeks in a row with North Texas, a real bye week, and UTEP. So that's pretty good.
I hope they bring their fire extinguishers when North Texas comes to town.
Let me ask you all this before I let y'all get out of here and take the reins of your program again. What did most people think? I know this was a team that came in with high expectations, and every goal that was realistic is there, besides a perfect season, and as Coach Holt said, the chance to win a championship. I thought they were somewhere between a three-loss team and a four-loss team. And if I had to pick the three losses, they were in all three games that they lost. At Western Kentucky, I know, Ford, you weren't really on board as much as I was. I think we're seeing what Western Kentucky is now. They're a really good football team. I thought this is what they would be. That's not to say Tech can't beat them if they play again, but if you had to pick three losses, it would probably be the ones they lost.
There's no doubt, and I was dead wrong about Western Kentucky. That's obvious at this point in the season. But when you have a 6-year quarterback that's been in the system that he's been in since the beginning of time, essentially in college football,
six years is forever.
That's the beginning of time in college football. It's hard to stop something like that. But you're right. I mean, Tech's got everything in front of them, and Did the coaching staff, did they play conservative Saturday because of that? Maybe so. They'll never admit it in public, and nor should they. But when you think about it logically and realistically, if they did, so be it. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, would have beating Mississippi State looked really good on the resume for Louisiana Tech? Sure. But like I said to begin the show, I think Tech fans got teased. Like, you get teased by the good-looking girl in your class and you have no shot at. You get teased by them, but you had no shot to begin with.
Well, and I thought we matched up athletically with Kansas State. They're a smart team, whatever the whole stereotypes about big teams from the Midwest, but you're playing in the South against other really good athletic teams like Mississippi State, and they're getting the 4- and 5-star recruits. So you can't just outrun them and push them around. They're just as big, if not bigger, than you are. So maybe we just didn't match up as well. But then, like Coach Holt said, a couple of those turnovers, and they're right back in the game. So, you know, yeah, I think you're right, Fox. We did get a little bit got our hopes up playing so well at Kansas State as fans. Maybe we didn't have realistic expectations going to this game, but it didn't help when they went up 14-0.
Well, this is all, and then I'll let you guys, because you got guests. This is my expectation for this program, and it should be to win a conference championship this year. There are 100 bowl games. Get to one every year, every 2 or 3 years, play for the conference championship, and they're well on their way of meeting those goals right now.
That would be unbelievable, basketball and football.
Yep.
Fox, appreciate you stepping in while Jason
Thank
got
you,
in a little late. Appreciate you coming in on
Keep
with
up
us.
The good work.
Thanks,
Thank
Sean.
Bye-bye.
Sean Fox, ladies and gentlemen, joining me here on the first segment. Jason Jones, of course, has stepped into the building.
Elvis has entered the building.
Welcome in.
Thank you.
This segment brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents. Go give them a call. And, of course, our title sponsor, Trenton Interiors of Ruston, and then give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline or text line. We got the next two segments with Casey Bowman of GoMiddle.com, but beginning at 6:45, wide open. It's all about you. Give us your text on your thoughts about Louisiana Tech football, 888-993-7762 on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jonathan Ford, publisher at BleedTechBlue.com. Jason Jones, writer for BleedTechBlue.com and also writer for UnderdogDynasty.com, joining me like he does every week. Trenton Interiors and Company of Downtown Ruston are our title sponsors this year of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Go visit them at 111 North Trenton Street in downtown Ruston in historic Rogers Furniture Building, 318-255-7698. Joining us on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, my good friend Casey Bowman of GoMiddle.com. How's it going, Casey?
Jay Ford, my man, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. A little bit of a little game going on Saturday inside Joe I.A. Stadium at 2:30. But first, Conference USA football. Is it what you've expected thus far? Any surprises so far?
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at both divisions from an Eastern perspective, I think things have kind of shaken out according to plan. Everybody knew, you know, heading into the year, Western Kentucky and Marshall were going to be the two kind of to beat teams there, and teams like Middle Tennessee and the Florida schools were kind of, you know, present some challenges and possibly give those teams a run for their money. But you know, here we are, you know, 6-7 games into the season, and you got WKU and Marshall sitting undefeated in conference play atop the East there. When I look at the West, though, I obviously Louisiana Tech. You know, at 2-1 in a three-way tie with Southern Miss and Rice. I don't think many people expected Southern Miss to be as impressive as they've been throughout the course of the year. Obviously, still a lot of football to play left on the schedule for them. But, you know, I think from an overall perspective, though, things have kind of shaken out the way we expected.
I've had this thought really for several weeks about Southern Miss, and I don't know that it's really – the question is answered yet. Are they for real? UTSA laid an egg Saturday, and I know that whenever teams lay an egg, there's some credit to be put on the team that they played, but UTSA laid an absolute egg in Hattiesburg, Mississippi Saturday. How good do you think Southern Miss is?
Well, I don't think there's any question that offense is good. You know, quarterback Nick Mullins has really come into his own this year. They've got a lot of talent, you know, at the receiver position. You know, I think I was just reading up on them today. They had two different players run for 100 yards and two different receivers catch 100 yards in the same game against UTSA. That's an unheard of stat. But you know, I think offensively they are legit. They're going to score points on, you know, anybody in this conference, and you know, the proof's kind of in the pudding there. You know, the sample size, of course, is 7 games, but, you know, they're averaging just a clip under 35 points a game, which is just behind, you know, Louisiana Tech, Middle Tennessee, and Western Kentucky. And then their defense has stepped up, I think, in many areas this year as well. I think they're sitting fourth in the conference in scoring defense. So I think they're for real, man. I don't know if they've necessarily got all the pieces in play. They're going to give people a little run for their money this year. It's funny, I've been taken back every time I come on with you. I feel like we bring up Southern Miss and you know, when is this sleeping giant, quote-unquote, going to wake back up and storm through the palace of the conference? And, you know, it seems that Todd Monken's got that program headed back in that direction for sure.
Well, okay, so this is Jason. I agree. They're 4-3 right now, and you look at who they played. Okay, Austin Peay, Texas State, North Texas, none of them were very good. And I was waiting for that UTSA game to see if they could keep it going, and they did. But man, the scheduling gods are smiling on Todd Monken. He's got Charlotte coming up, then UTEP, and then a couple weeks later, towards the end of the season, Old Dominion at home. I mean, he could get to 7 wins without breaking a sweat, and that's what he needed. It's still got to go to Louisiana Tech and to Rice, so I don't know if they're ready to compete for the Western Division yet, but they're definitely going to get bowl eligible, and like you said, I think they'll give Rice and Tech a run for their money. It's not as easy as you would have thought it would have been, you know, a month or so ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point with the scheduling, and you know, credit to that program too. You know, they're in a situation financially where, you know, they could stand to use a few more, you know, payday games, quote unquote, you know, to kind of help them, you know, from a financial perspective. But, you know, they opted, you know, and obviously, you know, schedules are made in advance and years out, but, you know, things really lined up for them well this year to get some wins under their belt and, you know, and to regenerate that fan base and, you know, and kind of get more eyes on the program to where, you know, over the next couple of years, they're really set up for some success there. So, you know, credit to that program. You know, I know they need help from a financial perspective, but, you know, they weren't going to sacrifice wins this year to make that happen. So kudos to them.
And when you look at the newcomers to the conference that are new to FBS football of Charlotte and Old Dominion. Old Dominion, of course, had their sixth-year quarterback last year, which, don't get me started on that, I think is a travesty, especially at the quarterback position. You get, they give you 5 years. I think you should play your 5 years. But you look at what now, look at Old Dominion without that six-year quarterback. They're not very good. In Charlotte, they're struggling. How long is it going to take, in your opinion, for those programs to be competitive?
Well, you know, I think you've got to give them, you know, time to recruit, and you know, the recruiting landscape in and of itself changes when you make that switch to FBS. You know, look at a team like Western Kentucky. You know, they're in their, you know, 5th, 6th, 7th year of FBS football, and now that they finally got these recruits in, that, you know, that they've been catering to this level, they're off the charts right now. So I think that's you know, you got to give them time. I think with Charlotte, I think some of the fans might get a little spoiled with the start of the season that they had. You know, going 2-0 and really looking good on, you know, on defense, and you know, they kind of ran into a buzzsaw when they came to Middle Tennessee, and things have kind of fallen off from there. But you know, anytime you start talking about these newcomers and making that transition to the FBS, I mean, I think a 3 to 4 year window is absolutely necessary. You know, just in terms of recruiting and just getting the right pieces in place.
And Old Dominion sitting in a perfect spot as far as recruiting goes within the Virginia Beach area, they'll be there. They got nice facilities. There's almost an unlimited recruiting area. I mean, it's very similar to Louisiana Tech sitting in an area where the Tech doesn't have to travel very far to recruit players. And Charlotte's not in an awful football area, but they're not in nearly the hotbed that Old Dominion is.
But Charlotte's still close to Georgia and Northern Florida, so they can get players. They're just not in the middle of it.
Hey, while we're on that note, talk about Middle Tennessee from a recruiting perspective. Tennessee's not known for their powerhouse high school football. Where does Middle have to go to recruit?
You know, Rick Stotts and the staff, every year this comes up, and, you know, from the state of Tennessee, the perspective, you know, really there is a lot of talent in the state of Tennessee, but it's a very top-heavy state, meaning, you know, the best of the best there, you know, they're SEC, you know, type caliber players, and that's where they got their eyes set. You know, this is, you know, after all, SEC country. And then from there, there's a pretty big drop-off in terms of talent. You get a lot of, you know, FCS, high-level, FCS-level players. But, you know, for Middle Tennessee, they always try to recruit home first. This year in particular, you know, they've got about 4 or 5 guys that are from the Tennessee area, so that was, you know, something that Stockton and staff really wanted to, I don't know if they're looking to make an impression this year and show that they can recruit their own in their own backyard, but, you know, they've typically dived outside, and, you know, they've had a lot of success over the years in the state of Florida, in the state of Georgia, and more recently in the state of Alabama. So, I mean, they particularly, you know, keep their ground in the southeast, you know, they're not afraid to travel either. They signed a kid, you know, from New Jersey a few years ago to play cornerback. So, you know, it's not beyond them to you know, rack up some frequent flyer miles, but for the most part, they'll stick in the southeast.
Well, Casey, you got to stick around with us for the next segment. Let's go ahead and take that break, John, and we'll talk of Middle Tennessee, Louisiana Tech after the break. This segment brought to you by Brister Smokehouse. Go to visit Chris Brister and his staff and have you a scatterload, Jason's favorite sandwich. Of course, our title sponsor, Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston, 255-7698. Go check out those guys for all your interior decorating needs. Let's go back to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with Casey Bowman from GoMiddle.com to talk a little Louisiana Tech Middle Tennessee Saturday inside Joe Ice Stadium, 2:30 kickoff when the downpour is supposed to begin. 80% chance of rain Saturday. Casey, just go ahead and we'll start there. What does that mean for Middle Tennessee, in your opinion?
Well, you know, 7 games in the year, from a weather perspective, they've only played one game in the rain, so to speak, and it was against Vanderbilt, and it was you know, their homecoming game. And really, I think the elements really affected what they tried to do offensively. So, you know, I'm curious to see as to any shifts in the game plan that they're going to have. Obviously, they're really beat up right now at that running back position, which, you know, leads me to believe that they're going to rely more on the passing game. But, you know, when the weather is really bad, you know, how effective can you be through the air? So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a big factor in this game, especially for the Blue Raiders.
And you talk about injuries. Louisiana Tech, of course, has experienced their fair share, a little bit of musical chairs at offensive line so far with the starting center, projected starting center of Kirby Wixon going down against Southern and really hasn't been back since. And then Kenneth Dixon, of course, missed the last 2 games. Paul Turner's missed a couple of games at starting outside receiver. Carlos Henderson, the other starting outside receiver, has missed a couple of games. So both teams a little bit of the walking wounded. However, I think Louisiana Tech could be pretty close to 100% as far as their roster looks. I'm not going to say that the players will be 100%. What player is 100% this time of year? But talk about those injuries for the Blue Raiders and where they stand.
Yeah, so, you know, with Middle Tennessee, I touched on the running backs. You know, really they're down to their 6th and 7th running back on the depth chart right now. We got a true freshman in Desmond Anderson, who's getting the bulk of the snaps right now. And then a redshirt sophomore in Kamani Thomas, who himself is actually hurt. He's coming off of a groin tear and wasn't really even projected to play at all this year, but they threw him out there last week against Florida International just because they really had to. They were down to one and two healthy backs there. So, you know, on the injury perspective, you got Jordan Parker and Shane Tucker. You know, Tucker's missed the last couple of games. You know, he had a thigh contusion that required stitches a couple weeks back, and it was more of a precaution thing that they were holding him out. And then now all of a sudden he's missing the last couple games. Nobody's really sure what's going on there. And then Jeremiah Bryson, who's their senior, who's their 3rd running back on the depth chart, went down in the first half against Florida National with a shoulder injury. So he's listed as questionable for this weekend as well. So, you know, when it comes to running backs, you know, it was the deepest position for Middle Tennessee heading into the year, and now all of a sudden it's thin as a razor. So very interesting and intriguing turn of events for them there. Beyond that, you know, obviously, you know, the O-line, you touched on with Tech there, Middle's kind of going through the same thing. They have gotten Darius Johnson back, who was, you know, an all-conference selection in the preseason. So they're very happy to have him back on the field, and a couple other guys shifting around here and there, but they seem to be okay for the most for the majority there. You know, wide receivers, they've been without Christian Collis since the Alabama game. Hurt his shoulder and hasn't been back. And then they lost Demetrius Frazier against Florida International as well to an apparent shoulder injury. So offense is pretty beat up. Defense looks a little bit better. They've been without safety Xavier Walker for the last couple weeks. But outside of that, they seem to be skating by on the defense at least. But that offense, man, they are beat up right now.
I'm going to try to not step on my soapbox, but anybody that listens to this program knows that I easily step on soapboxes. But that brings me to a point that I've got an issue with college football these days. What's the point in releasing a depth chart if you're not going to make it accurate? I'm looking at Middle Tennessee's depth chart for Saturday, and so many of those names you mentioned are still in the 2 or 3 deep. What's the point?
Yeah, so this has really drawn the ire of the fans this year. You know, Middle will release one more depth chart on Friday, which will be their official depth chart. Whatever they put out at the beginning of the week is just very much a paper depth chart. You know, that's just it. I can tell you right now, I know for a fact a couple of the guys on there aren't going to play, but they do release their official game day depth chart on Friday afternoon, so we get a little bit more of an insight there. But you know, Middle Tennessee, years past, they haven't really been this hush-hush when it comes to injuries, but for whatever reason this year, they've really kind of held those things close to the vest, even though, you know, a lot of them are obvious. You know, a guy like Jared Singletary, who's on the depth chart for punt return, kick return, guy tore the muscle off of his tibia. He's not playing anymore this season, I don't think. And he's on the depth chart as a kick returner. So that just goes to show you.
It happens at Louisiana Tech too, so and I think it happens all over the country. You probably know that I look at Vegas lines at every week, and I imagine you do as well. Tech, of course, opened at an 8.5 point favorite. It's gone down to 7, and we got an over under of 65. Do you agree with those numbers at all?
I think the spread's about right. I could see it even dropping down to maybe 6.5 by kickoff. I think that's about right, being about a touchdown dog for Middle Tennessee, given, granted they won this past week, but they haven't really been performing well over the course of the last month. So I think the spread's about right. With the weather being what you're saying is going to be, I think that over-under is a little high. I don't see nearly as many points getting put up if that's the case. Maybe Tech will still put them up. Maybe they won't be affected by it, but, the Blue Raiders were really hampered in poor weather earlier this year. So I think the spread's right, but I think that over-under might be a little high. I'd be taking the under if I was a betting man.
And one more question for me, Jason, and you can jump in. How does Middle Tennessee stack up against the run defensively? How good are they at stopping the run?
They are much improved this year. I'll give them that. That was really a cause for concern last year, and just the amount of yards they were giving up. They're actually second in the conference right now in rushing defense, behind Louisiana Tech. There, giving up about 139 yards a game on the ground. Which, if you saw this team last year, I think that average was much, much higher. So it's been something that they have committed to. I think it's helped. They've really beefed up that D line. Guys like Shaq Huff in the middle of the line there. Some true 315-pound guys, clogging up the lanes and for the opposition. That's really helped. And that linebacker core as a whole, guys like T.T. Barber, he's pretty well known within the conference, but the secondary role players that they had, like Cavellis Luckett and Trey Wofford, and even this youth movement with D.J. Sanders and Darius Harris, they've got a really strong linebacker core that I think has really been the focus point for Tyrone Nix and that defense to really elevate that position, and paid off. Like I said, in the second in the conference right now in rushing defense, that's something that heading into this year, I don't think anybody who had a pulse on Middle Tennessee's program would have ever predicted.
Yeah, 41st in the country in rushing defense, like you were saying, just under 139 yards, and then red zone defense tied for 34th in the country.
But then the anomaly in those rankings of third down conversion defense at number 84 in the country. That you wouldn't think that all three of those would go together.
Yeah, no, they typically don't. But a lot of that, they give up a lot of third and shorts. They perform pretty well on the third and long aspect of things, but those third and three, third and fours, they've struggled in stopping teams. But I think part of that too is just when it comes to third down, Middle Tennessee is a very aggressive team, regardless of the situation. If it's third or short, third or long, they're bringing the house on third down. So it leaves them exposed in some areas, and I think a lot of teams have seen that on tape and have been able to, parlay that into success on the field. That being said, you guys mentioned the red zone defense. I mean, when teams get in the red zone, Middle Tennessee's holding them to field goals, just under 45% of the time. I think 43% of the time they're holding teams to field goals. So that's been the key proponent to their success is, they're going to bend, but they're not going to break. They're going to give up the yards, but they're going to take chances along the way and try to create some havoc. And it's paid off too. The lead in the conference in interceptions. That's just a product of the scheme, I guess you could say. They're going to take it's a little give and take there. They know they're going to give things up. They're going to give up the big play occasionally, but they're going to make big plays along the way too.
And you look at scoring defense for Louisiana Tech and Middle Tennessee, they're ranked 82nd and 83rd in the country. So neither one of them are real great at keeping people off the scoreboard at 28 points a game. Something has to give Saturday.
Well, and playing Western Kentucky, both teams, that didn't help.
But sure.
Speaking of that, Casey, we were talking about Southern Miss kind of had the easier schedule this year. Middle Tennessee's 2-1 in the conference, but they're in the middle of a tough stretch where they had to go at Western Kentucky, come back home and beat Florida International, then go to Louisiana Tech, and then Marshall comes to town. Worst case scenario, they drop both of those next two games to Tech and to Marshall. Overall, they're looking at 3-6. To get bowl eligible, they'd have to win out. Two of those games are on the road, UTSA, Florida Atlantic. So they're not the toughest games in the world, but they are on the road. I mean, is that kind of where everybody saw Middle Tennessee coming into the year, being a 6 or 7 win team? Are they overperforming what everybody thought, or are they underperforming?
No, that's a great question, and you know, I think it's a mixed bag there. I predicted that, you know, this was a 7-win team. Maybe they could top out at 8 wins this year. You know, there were some tough games in there, Illinois and Vanderbilt, you know, Western Kentucky. You know, they didn't get any favors with the schedule this year, having to travel to Western, having to travel to Tech. But you know, they needed to show that they could win a big game. You know, and they came up short against Illinois, missed the last second field goal that would have won the game. They came up short against Vanderbilt, giving up a touchdown in the final minute to relinquish a lead that they had for the entire night. Then they get throttled by Western Kentucky. So, you know, you touched on it there with the 5 games left. Two of them, again, not getting any favors. They do get Marshall at home, so that'll be good for them. You know, they've got to find a way to win one of these swing games in here, you know, to keep that that 7-win dream alive, so to speak. But, you know, the fan base, if you pull the fan base right now, nobody's very happy with the product that's been put on the field. The team's been very inconsistent at best, to put it lightly there. And, you know, people are starting to really question the regime and the direction of the program's heading. There's obviously a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball, and the defense has made a lot of strides this year as well. I think fans were really expecting this team to win more and win now. So there's a lot of pressure on the team. You know, this weekend is a big opportunity for them. If they can somehow pull out a win on the road against Tech, then, you know, they're still, quote unquote, in the mix for the conference hunt. Obviously, they got to take care of things against Marshall and hope for, you know, a couple of balls to bounce their way in regards to Western Kentucky. But a loss this weekend, you know, it completely eliminates them from, you know, conference title consideration. And like you said, then, you know, if you drop to Marshall, all of a sudden you've got to win out just to get bowl eligible. So there's a lot riding on it, you know, a lot of pressure on the program right now. And, you know, if you ask me, that's not necessarily the best thing, because, you know, history has shown us that when the chips are on the line, Middle Tennessee tends to come up short. So it's going to be an interesting stretch of games here. Obviously, they needed a win last week, and they got it, albeit it was pretty ugly towards the end. But with these next two games, it's really going to tell us a lot about this team.
Well, Florida International makes everybody play ugly. They've got a good defense, and that's how Tech played against them too. But both teams got the win, Tech and Middle Tennessee, so that's all that matters. Now, you mentioned Middle Tennessee has not been playing as well the last couple of weeks. Their overall passing offense, 21st in the country. Stock still has over 2,000 yards of total offense. But in the last 3 games, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, not quite as prolific as he had been earlier in the season. On the season, 16 touchdowns to only 4 interceptions. Is it just a matter of playing these bigger schools, Vanderbilt, or good defense like Florida International, or has the team just overall not been as prolific on offense as they started out the season?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it. They definitely have not been, you know, as prolific as they started out. And, you know, I think part of that you can attribute to teams getting some actual game film on Brent Stockstill and kind of seeing some of his tendencies on tape and being able to you know, put together a better game plan against him in that passing attack. Another part of it is just the run game for Middle Tennessee really hasn't been there all year. Almost the definition of crazy, they keep trying, and then they've kind of been getting the same results, you know, up until this past week against Florida International. They're finally able to break through, which, you know, said a lot given, you know, who was doing the running for them in the backfield. So, you know, it's a situation where, you know, from a passing perspective, I don't think anybody would have expected the results out of Brent Stockstill in that air attack that they got to this point. So, you know, if things start tapering off and kind of faltering off towards the end of the season, you know, I think part of that is expected. Another part of that, people will start looking at the coaching staff, because really the same thing that's happening right now is what happened last year to Middle Tennessee, where they started out really well through the air, and then towards the end of the year, just really the whole offense started just kind of falling apart right before everyone's eyes. So it's people are curious to see if there's a trend here. And, you know, honestly, with different players and you're getting the same results, people are going to start looking at coordinators and they're still looking at the head coach and start questioning the philosophy and things like that. You know, when it comes to their production tapering off over the last couple weeks, you know, like I said, I think the majority of that is just, you know, teams finally getting some game film on Brent Stockstill and being able to game plan against him. You know, he's definitely talented, so he's got the tools and the pieces to kind of overcome that here in these next few games. But, you know, I think for the most part, they're trying to be more balanced. You know, whether it's working or not, it's taken away from that passing attack by trying to do that.
Well, and you mentioned the running backs. What I'm looking at four different running backs with at least 46 carries. Are they just running back committee by committee, or have there been some injuries? What's the reason for the four different running backs getting so many carries?
Yeah, no, it's both. They were very much going to be a running back by committee team this year. Between Jordan Parker, Shane Tucker, and Jeremiah Bryson, all three guys could easily start and be the guy for Middle Tennessee. So that was always the game plan. They did not want Desmond Anderson, you know, backing up. You know, he's second in the team right now in yards and second in the team carries. They didn't want that. They've officially burned that red shirt, which they didn't want to do. But no, they're very much a running back by committee team. We kind of understood that coming into the year. If anything, it was going to be four or five deep. I mentioned Kamani Thomas earlier. He's just never really gotten healthy since he's been on campus, so they kind of put him to the back burner. And then they lost the redshirt freshman Javonte Herrod at the beginning of the season of fall camp for the year with an ankle injury. So, but that was always the game plan. But injuries definitely haven't helped that. And you know, I think you're going to see about four or five guys continue to get the workload for the rest of the season.
Well, all that being said, let's hear your prediction for Saturday.
Oh, man. You know, I think Tech's going to win. I think it's going to be a close game. You know, the keys to the game come down to two areas, third down and then turnovers. It, you know, if the Blue Raiders can convert their third downs like they've been doing pretty well recently and stop Tech on their third downs, I think it's going to bode well for them down the stretch. Ultimately, though, with the weather conditions, I can see that ball getting put on the mat quite a few times, and I don't think that bodes very well for Middle Tennessee. So I think Tech's going to win. I think it's going to be a low-scoring, close game, something like 24-21, 23-21 Tech.
I could see that as well. Well, we appreciate it, Casey, as always, for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, hey, guys, I appreciate it, man. Let's do it again sometime.
All right. Casey Bowman from GoMiddle.com joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We got two tickets to give away to Saturday's game inside Joe Ayi Stadium. Jason's come up with a trivia question. In 1999, Tech beat Middle Tennessee 42-18. How many yards did Tech legend and current Tech wide receivers coach Tim Rattay pass for? Tech beat Middle Tennessee 1999, 42-18. How many yards did Tim Rattay pass for? You get two tickets, 50-yard line on the west side if you have the answer. Great seats. We'll be back right after this. This segment brought to you by National Jewelry in Ruston. Waving your banner all over the place. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company in the historic Rogers Furniture Building in downtown Ruston, 318-255-7698. And they came out and measured for countertops at my house here in the last week. Good stuff from Trenton Interiors and Company.
I think the grand opening's Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
But they've been open. But the ribbon cutting.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Jason would know. He's a business owner in town. He would know. Jason, keys to the game, in your opinion, for Tech Saturday against Middle Tennessee. The turnover, I can't stand whenever you're watching TV and they go, they must win the turnover battle. No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's hard to beat anybody if you don't win the turnover battle.
but and then again, I mean, you look at the stats. Tech's dead even at turnovers right now, I think. Plus minus at zero. Middle Tennessee's got like one less turnover than their opponents do. But yeah, I mean, really, just okay. Assuming Kenneth Dixon's back, run the ball with Driscoll and Dixon. Don't fumble it. Tech wins the game. Now, if Dixon doesn't come back, they're going to have to get creative, kind of like they did opening up against Mississippi State, spread it out, use Driscoll a lot, and then just, you know, on defense, just not – don't let Middle Tennessee match you. You've got to get some stops. And I think Tech's defense has been doing that. And I know it's – like you just said, it's a cliche or whatever, but I think Tech wins as long as they don't lose that turnover battle. I mean, I don't think Middle Tennessee can beat them without getting extra turnovers.
And, I mean, obviously, Tech's got to play well. I mean, they can't just roll the ball out and expect a victory. Tech's not to that point in their history as a program. Tech can't play dumbly. I know that's not a word, but cannot play poorly and come out and win. We got a winner. Our friend MH in West Monroe wins the two tickets at the 50-yard line Saturday in Ruston.
There you go, MH. You're a good Googler. I tried to make it harder. It took me a minute to find that one, but it didn't take him very long.
He was quicker on the draw than you were. Yep. It took you about 10 minutes to even write the sentence. We don't write much anymore. So when I try to write, it looks absolutely atrocious.
I've always had bad handwriting, as you can tell.
You think your children write neater than you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Maybe not my four-year-old. The other two can.
Maybe not the four-year-old.
He's close.
Oh, goodness. For me, the keys to victory are to be able to run the ball with consistency. I mean, that's Tech may be throwing the ball well this year with a passing offense of 18th in the country, but it still all starts with Kenneth Dixon. If they're not balanced, Tech's not very good.
Well, and Coach Holtz mentioned Blake Martin will be back. And so if you don't
on Tim Fletcher's show this morning.
Yeah, and so if you don't see –
give Tim some shout out there.
There you go. If you don't see Dixon, you'll see maybe some Blake Martin. Jared Kraft, 14 carries for 40 yards last week against Mississippi State. And then the surprise, towards the end of the game, Boston Scott, 10 carries for 55 yards. Did that garner him some more playing time? Now, Kraft's numbers, the 14 for 40 doesn't jump out as much. But then you look at his receiving, 5 catches for 56 yards. So, just like Dixon, he shows he can be very versatile. I think we talked with Rafe last week. Rafe, you hadn't called in yet. What's up? We talked about, you know, he can pick up the blitz. Very versatile back. And so, you know, obviously Kraft's going to get the start, but we'll see if Martin gets the backup role or will Scott.
You know, something that you talk about, Jared Kraft. I was impressed with something that he said in the press conference yesterday. You know, he has not talked to the press much in his career at Tech. Of course, he's just a true sophomore. But I asked him, I said, what have you learned from Kenneth Dixon? And let's be honest, Kenneth's one of the best running backs in the country. And he said, learning to play with the passion that Kenneth plays with, because there's not many people who play with more passion than Kenneth Dixon does. And also that Kenneth challenges him to keep his legs moving on contact. And that's the fans' biggest criticism of him, is that he doesn't break tackles very well. And I thought that took a lot of humility, especially from a 20-year-old, to stand in front of a group of basically strangers and admit his faults. I couldn't have done that at 20 years old.
Well, yeah, and it just shows, too. I mean, if you're a 15- or 16-year-old running back out there and you want to know what it takes to be a good running back, I mean, that's some good advice. But also, just get in that weight room, you know, do squats and deadlifts all day long, because Dixon's legs are so powerful.
630 pounds he squats, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's some crazy number, and he uses that to his advantage. He just pushes that pile, and he breaks the breaks tackles like crazy, and it's he's pushing off, he's knocking guys off of him, but at the same time, it's those legs that he gets that power from.
We got a caller on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline. Rob is on the line. Rob, what's on your mind?
Yes, I haven't really been able to hear what's going on with Kenneth Dixon and how close is he to coming back.
Coach Coach talked about it yesterday. I believe he was probably close to about 80% Saturday against Middle Tennessee. I would imagine, or not, sorry, 80% Saturday against Mississippi State. I expect him to play Saturday, and Coach has alluded to it on the radio this morning in his weekly radio interviews, and also alluded to it yesterday in his press conference. I would imagine they probably put some shots in him Saturday, and it may have alleviated the pain, but it just wasn't worth the risk from Tech's perspective. When you think about this, isn't Kenneth Dixon's got seven games left for Louisiana Tech, hopefully, but definitely not seven games left in his career, and you don't want to jeopardize that.
No, absolutely not. I thought it was the right thing to do to hold him out unless we had a real chance to win toward the end of the game in Mississippi State. But if it's 80% chance of rain Saturday, I hope his ankle's healthy and we hand him the ball off a lot, you know.
There's no doubt. If you're a betting man, Vegas has the over-under at 65. There's an opportunity to have some cash made, I think, this weekend.
Yep. Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Good stuff from Rob. Kenneth Dixon, I do expect him Saturday. And then you think about the other guys that Tech potentially gets back with. Carlos Henderson was out with an internal injury. He had an injury that he sustained against UTSA that nobody thought was as serious as it was. And it ended up being serious.
Yeah, what, he fell on the ball the wrong way or something? I mean, just
something like that. It was not good. They didn't, when they evaluated him on the sideline, I mean, you don't know anything that's going on internally whenever you evaluate somebody on the sideline. So he missed last week because of that. I think Connor Smith will be back this week. That'll be huge. Paul Turner saw a limited role Saturday against Mississippi State. He'll be in a bigger role Saturday. Tech should have its full complement of receivers, which, when's the last time that happened this season? I don't think it has a single time.
Well, and this is where, and we'll talk about maybe more in the next segment or two, but this is where Tech normally starts their run the last few years. And these next two games are where they're going to determine if they're going to be in the running for the Western Division title. Middle Tennessee and Rice. I mentioned earlier, UTEP and North Texas are having way down years. Tech should roll over them. These two games, Middle Tennessee and Rice, this is where they go from being a middle-of-the-road team in the West to one of the top one or two teams in the West. So, big games right here.
We've got Rafe on the Fairway Cards Amendment Hotline. Rafe, how about we hold you through the break, and on the other side of the break, we'll go right to you.
Sounds good, man.
All right. Rafe joining us on the Fairway Carts Amendment Hotline right after the break. This segment brought to you by Pierce Service Company and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, and, of course, title sponsor of Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street, 255-7698. We'll be back right after this.
Ruston.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston. Let's go back to the Fairway Carts Amendment Hotline with our friend Rafe, probably the biggest friend of the program that's ever been. Rafe, how's it going, my friend?
I'm a friend of Louisiana Tech, and whoever wants to talk about them, they can be my friend.
There you go.
You're a frequent caller on the Tim Fletcher Show, correct?
Oh yeah, I love Timmy. He's a cool guy, and you know, that's my morning commute. I mean, what's that called when you're driving?
Commute.
I was saying it wrong. And then so I get to hear him, see him around. So yeah, I'm pretty, you know, at least once a month I'm good to call in and say something about Tech.
There you go. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, considering what we've seen the last 3 years with Kenneth Dixon, is that he is definitely the type of guy that will perform, especially in these conference games. He's just physical enough, athletic enough, and tenacious enough to be a huge difference maker in these types of games. And we saw that last year when we went up against Marshall or Western Kentucky or Rice or whoever was formidable. Is at UAB, whoever is supposed to be good, you know, defense, run defense, Kenneth usually would show out against those teams. So I'm excited. I'm hoping that he's healed up and ready to go, because he really is the heart and soul of the team, as far as that one weapon that you can rely upon to be there and be a threat at any point in the game.
Is it a concern for you, Rafe, that Middle Tennessee has such a formidable passing offense with Tech's pass defense woes that they're facing these days?
Well, yeah, it definitely is. I mean, especially whenever, you know, it was basically has been admitted that we're going to let them stay underneath us and do the nickel and dime stuff. Well, eventually, you know, that cashes in, and you get close enough, and then if that's kind of your zone and you're kind of sitting back, well, it doesn't surprise me that we're not ball hawking whenever you can't change mentality once you get, you know, to the different side of the field. So that type of mindset to where we're going to give them the underneath stuff, I understand it, but eventually, and especially you see it on third downs where when the teams tend to you know, maybe risk a little bit more, and they've been effective, and it seems like the mentality of our team, especially our pass defense, it's just not as aggressive. You don't see them jumping routes. You don't see them, you know, making plays on the ball to the level that we saw last year.
Do you think it has something to do with teams not stretching the field as much as they did last year and getting rid of the ball faster? Last year, you saw teams hold on to the ball, and then Tech's defensive line was on top of them before they knew it.
Yeah, I mean, we got pressure on them. And that's for sure. And, you know, there is a greater degree of difficulty completing the long pass, even, you know, with man-on-man coverage. There's still difficulty there. But it seems to me like that, you know, we have our players back there. You saw that at Kansas State. Our players are around the ball, but they're so zoned out and, you know, wanting to protect an area that they lose contact with the player that they may need to be looking for.
And they're close by, but I don't think that they're necessarily in the position they need to be in. That's especially at safety. I think the corners have really started to play a whole lot better. At the beginning of the year, I think it was a little bit of the opposite. But the safeties, any play that's made deep, you see a safety close by, but they're not in a position to make a play.
Yeah, it's like the mentality is don't let them behind you, you know, versus go get the ball. And I don't see a lot of go get the ball from Xavier this year. You know, that you know, use what you have, everything you have, to go get the ball and make a play. And I don't know if it's philosophy or, like you said, that we're not getting as much pressure on the quarterback, therefore the ball's not thrown up for grabs. You know, some of the interceptions we've seen this year would, you know, you have ULL throwing the dumbest pass and, you know, one of the dumbest plays at the end of the first half, and that ball is
considered the source, right?
I mean, it was thrown right to, you know, I mean, the only guy that could catch it was Bryson. So, you know, considered the source. And some of the other, I mean, that we hadn't had many interceptions, but, you know, they may have been just poor ball placement, but it seems to me like from the safety position, we're playing, you know, better safe than sorry mentality, and it means that we end up getting hurt that way.
Well, and I was going to mention too, we're not getting as much pressure on the ball, but the last couple of weeks, man, Jalen Ferguson, where did he come from? I mean, I hate that Canty got hurt, but Ferguson steps in, and he's, I mean, just
Candy's not hurt. He's suspended.
Oh, I thought they mentioned on the coach's show yesterday that he was dealing with a minor injury. But
oh,
maybe
did they?
Maybe I heard wrong.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. But anyway, Ferguson's been playing lights out. And then, yeah, you're right. They haven't been making plays on the ball as much. But I was glad to see two different plays. We mentioned last week the Mississippi State tight end was back, and he might be able to hurt Tech a little bit. And two different times, he catches the ball and just gets his clock clean. I think once by Thomason and once by Woods. Am I right?
Yes.
I mean, just laid him out in the
second. And then he never came back.
The second one, I'm sitting in the stands, and he gets up from the end zone with the trainers. They open up a little gate, and he walks right into the end zone facility. He didn't even try to go back to the sideline. He was done.
Coach Mullen, I'm tapping out.
Yeah, those plays irritated the Mississippi State crowd, but they were
the natives,
clean hits.
Yeah, they were clean.
Well, and I was telling the Mississippi State fans around me, I was like, look, all these people are going nuts and booing. That happens if the Mississippi State player does that to the Tech receiver. This whole place is going nuts. I mean, they would think it's the greatest play ever.
Yeah, exactly. What I was thinking about is that, man, we're gonna have a really good highlight reel next year. You know, for our intro video.
There you go.
Those guys both, you know, they caught them clean, they caught them hard, and it was impressive. And there are several impressive plays on the offensive side in the game.
Yeah, I mean, the Trent Taylor touchdown catch was unbelievable.
You know, getting that hand down, that was cool. And, you know, we need breaks. Without Dixon, we needed many breaks to stay with them, and we didn't get them. And they got a couple of breaks. You know, they got first down by fumble. And then, you know, that was on a third down.
And then Xavier recovered a fumble that was never reviewed.
Yeah, never reviewed. And we were only down 11 at that point, and that would have, you know, maybe changed a little bit. Ultimately, they probably still win the game. But, you know, I thought, you know, like we discussed last week, is that Driscoll versus Dak, I think Driscoll looked good. You know, I think that, you know, I look at who Dak's throwing to and how much time he has to throw it. He's standing back there kind of hopping around waiting for people to get open, whereas Driscoll's having to move, and he's throwing to guys about 5 inches shorter than what Mississippi State had. And he's still, and Trent's going to get open, but I'm saying when you look at Gaines and Turner, that those guys just aren't that tall compared to the margin of error with those Mississippi State receivers, that they're so big and tall and long. So I thought Driscoll looked like he was very good.
He looked like he belonged for sure.
No doubt.
Yeah, there's no Darunya Wilson on the Tech sidelines, but
give us your prediction.
Well, Tech is hard to beat at home. And, you know, I don't ever know what the weather's going to do. I mean, it looks like it may rain. I don't really care, to be honest. I mean, I've got a raincoat.
You'll be there wet or dry.
Yeah, either way. I think that we're going to grind them out. I think that that the rain would hurt them worse than it hurts us, but eventually it's going to become we've got more horses than they do, and even if it were sunny or rainy, it doesn't matter. We're going to beat them, and we're going to beat them by more than a touchdown. You know, we're going to beat about 10 or more. So I would say we win by, you know, 31-17, something like that.
I think that's about right. Sounds pretty close to me. Well, we appreciate it like always, Rafe.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Rafe Sims joining us on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline. Good stuff from him. We're a little late for a break, so let's take this break. No, we're not. We're a little early, aren't we? Well, yeah, we're a little early.
Real quick, I was going to say, you know, you look at the stats, comparing Driscoll to Prescott. Prescott didn't have just amazing numbers rushing the ball, but he did get the first downs when he needed to. 10 carries for 34 yards and a touchdown. Driscoll was held to 6 carries for 10 yards. But then passing, Driscoll 25 of 41, 303 yards, 2 touchdowns. Prescott
with the interception, though.
Had the one late interception where he basically just kind of threw it up. Prescott 30 of 43 for 347. So, 3 touchdowns. So Prescott had better numbers, but it wasn't like it was very close.
There, without a doubt. And you know, once again, we saw that Trent Taylor, nobody can cover him. Now they did finally double cover him. The one route where Cam McKnight catches the ball, but he's out of bounds at the back of the end zone, where he and Trent were in the same place. Somebody didn't run the right route.
Yeah.
You don't want to crowd up the end zone. It's already the hardest place probably to throw a ball, and you've got more people in a small area. So there was some miscommunication there.
And everybody was watching Trent Taylor anyway. So, I mean, he started getting doubled there later in the game. So, yeah, that was unfortunate. But I tell you what, I love the game plan coming out. You don't have Dixon. You spread it out and jump on a 14-0. That was awesome. And it's just, you know, you knew at some point they were going to figure that out. But it was great that it started out as well as it did, and it gave Tech a chance to be in it.
With the weather forecast being what it is, Weather Underground says that it's a 20% chance of rain. AccuWeather and Weather.com say 80%. So I'm going to go law of numbers and say it's 80% because 2 of 3 said 80%. But if the game starts and it's not raining in your Tech, you've deferred all year, do you accept to try to get out early?
You might, especially if it's going to be more of a chance to rain later in the game.
Yeah, it's not supposed to let up until Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, so get the ball and go try to score. And yeah, it's a good idea.
I just had that epiphany.
It's pretty smart. I could go for that.
I have those good ideas every once in a while. I agree with everyone that that Kenneth Dixon playing is big for this game. If it is going to be a rainy conditions like it's expected to, you could even line up in the Big T, the T-bone package, and just run it all the way down the field. And hey, speaking of that package, how about that brilliant call on 4th and 1?
Oh, I loved it. They shifted out of the T and went to an offset to the left. And so everybody thought, okay, you got two lead blockers. Here they come.
Ricky Jones releases to the right.
Oh, man. Great, great play. Loved it.
And Ricky Jones, you know, for a walk-on, Tech's got an unbelievable value out of him.
Oh, yeah. Ricky Jones and just like that we've had in the running backs over the last few years, Hunter Lee and Blake Martin and Boston Scott and Marlon Seitz. I mean, now a tight end too. So very good value in some of the skill position guys.
And then I've kind of been perplexed at why Tech has burned Jacquees Dancy's red shirt. He's been the kick return guy, but that's basically the only place we've seen him, and he's been very tentative at kick return. If hindsight's always 20/20, and I bet if they knew what they know now, they probably would have redshirted him.
Yeah, I mean, they just saw his speed in camp and just wanted to get him back there. And, you know, with Henderson being hurt some, you know, you needed Dancy back there probably to get some speed in the kick return game. I don't know why the hesitancy to put him in the backfield. He's not a huge guy, but he is pretty tall. I think 5'11".
He runs a little upright right now. He needs to get his pad level lower or he's going to get killed.
But, you know, maybe like they've done with Kraft some, put him in some of that five wide inside receiver kind of deal. Get the ball in his hands a little bit, get him involved and see what he can do.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll wrap up the show and give you our predictions. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. This last break brought to you by Brennan Dodge and Dairy Queen. Coming soon to Ruston. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston, 255-7698. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline or send us a text on the text line, 888-993-7762.
Well, this is the part of the season where the last probably 4 years or so, this is where Tech starts going from, you know, you don't know if they're going to be a bowl team or not, and then they just go on a run and get it done. 2011, after a tough overtime loss at Mississippi State, a couple weeks later, Tech gets on a winning streak, finishes the season with 7 straight wins. Then the next year, 2012, the big game against Texas A&M, lost 59-57. Wins 4 in a row, you know, gets bowl eligible. Then last year, 2014, the loss at Auburn, another SEC team. The Bulldogs are 2-3. Don't know what they're going to have as far as bowl eligibility or not. And then they run off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row, and 6 out of the next 7, with that only loss being in overtime on the road at Old Dominion. So, you know, you get that SEC loss out of your way, get back to conference play, and Tech has been money in 3 out of the last 4 years. This could be the 4th out of 5. Middle Tennessee and Rice, these are the big games. You got North Texas and UTEP after that. Both of those teams are struggling really bad. So odds are you can have a 4-game winning streak going into that last game against Southern Miss if the Bulldogs take care of business this week at home against Middle Tennessee and then go beat Rice up in Houston next week on Friday night.
I think you're on to something.
So this is huge. This, you know, hopefully Dixon will be back, but you know, I'm not saying the season rides on this game or anything like that, but Tech's 4-3, but could easily be 8-3 in a blink of an eye, and it starts right here this week.
Yeah, and you look at, like you were saying, you look at the Tech's remaining schedule. Middle Tennessee and Southern Miss are their hardest games left. You and North Texas, like I joked against in the previous show, I hope Tech fans bring their fire extinguishers to homecoming because a dumpster fire is coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, North Texas is 0-6, fired their coach. Never found out for sure. I haven't looked back. Did they ever determine if they fired the coach right before the game or after the game? Because before, if it sounds like they fired him before the game, because then you go out and lose to Portland State 66-3. Those players weren't in that game. They did not want to be there.
And then UTEP, you traveled to El Paso. UTEP won't be playing for anything at that point in the season.
Yeah, they're 2-4. They lost their running back, and they just haven't been the same team since. You know, they lost the last two games, Florida International and Texas San Antonio, and they did not compete as that well in either one of them. Just lost by 40 to Florida International. They're coming off a bye week. They're not favored in any more of their games until the last week when they go to North Texas of all places, and they actually are favored. But
so two dumpster fires will converge.
Yeah, that's the pillow fight of the week, the last week of the season right there.
And then, of course, you look at the other Tech's last game of the season is Southern Miss. The rivalry in Dixie?
Yeah, and like we were talking about with Casey, I mean, they've just got the easiest schedule in the world. They've got, they're 4-3 right now, but they've got Charlotte, UTEP, and Old Dominion left on their schedule. So, I mean, they're going to get to 7 wins unless they just completely fall apart. At Rice.
Unless they mess the bet, as the old saying goes.
Yeah, yeah, and so, I mean, they go to Rice towards the end of the season, then they got to come to Ruston to finish the season. You know, so that's when they're going to have their shot at, you know, can we win the Western Division? Can they win on the road? They got to go on the road for both of those games. I don't think they're there yet.
And, I mean, they got blasted by Marshall. That game, 31-10, really wasn't even 21 points close.
Yeah, and I think Tech could do the same thing to them. I really do. But they're going to be up for it, and that's still a long time away. So we'll talk about that one. But I think this week we'll start a run. Tech's going to win a few in a row here and finish the season strong.
Well, while you're at it, I mean, you've got Massey ratings pulled up. Your friends, where do they have it? Tech's game Saturday.
Against Middle Tennessee, Louisiana Tech is favored. 76% chance of winning, 41-31. Again, I don't think they're taking into account the weather, just like Vegas. I'm going to go – I was similar to Rafe. I think he said 31-17. I was going to say 31-20. So, you know, if it gets sloppy, we get a turnover, we could blow them out. But if not, it's going to be about a 10-11-point win, I believe.
You know, I used to use the old saying that if you use the same prediction over and over again, maybe it'll eventually work out.
There you go.
I'll go 35-21 Tech. You know, you see some of these games in the rain. I mean, look at what Tech did last Conference USA championship game last year. It was raining, and they still threw the ball. If it's not windy, rain coming in sideways, and I don't expect it to do that, they should be okay. Now, one concern is there is thunderstorms in the forecast. This game could get delayed several times. If that happens, you could throw everybody's score predictions out of the window. It may be 14-10 final because there will be no flow to the game.
Yeah, I like the way this team's mentality has been under Coach Holtz. I think whether it's an ugly game like that, they're going to find a way to win somehow. You know, you've got veteran coaches that aren't going to
– and veteran quarterback, veteran running back.
Yeah, they're going to make the right calls. They've got that will to win. And, you know, I think like Rafe said, I kind of hope it does rain. I think they do not have a running game whatsoever. And I think Tech can beat them even easier if it rains.
John, let's hear your prediction.
I've been kind of back and forth. I'm thinking a 10-point victory somewhere in the 31-21 time, and somewhere in that area, 28-17 maybe. I just don't see a lot of – would you say the over-under was 65?
Yeah.
That just seems awfully high, especially in the rain.
I don't disagree.
So I'll go 31-21.
And that's still a lot of points scored. It tells you how bad we all think the defenses are.
Yeah, but that's still, what, 13 under the over-under?
It's 13 under the over-under, but it could be raining cats and dogs, and that tells you how little any of us respect those two defenses.
Over-under on fumbles, 5.5, both teams.
Under.
If it rains, I still say under. That's a lot.
You're going over because you made the line.
Well, maybe, okay. Let me rephrase.
2.5.
Fumbles lost.
Oh, fumbles lost? Oh, yeah, it's definitely 2.5. under.
2.5.
Fumbles lost, 2.5. I'll go under still.
I think it may be over if it rains. I think we'll all agree it's possibly going to be a sloppy.
And while you're talking, you missed a home run by your Cubbies. Maybe you need to keep talking all evening.
Or maybe not.
1-1 Mets, Cubs, bottom of the first, one out. Cubbies just hit him a bomb. Jason,
well, we crap.
got a Mets fan and a Cubs fan in here, and then a guy that couldn't care less about Major League Baseball, being myself. You guys are going to go home and watch this, and meanwhile, I'll find something else on the tube to watch. The idiot box, as my grandfather used to call it.
There you go.
Well, we all picked Tech to cover the spread and to be under the over-under. So that's something. That's saying something. And for what it's worth, Weather Underground has come full circle, and now they're saying 80% chance of rain at kickoff.
Dang, you can't beat them, join them.
You can't beat them, join them, even in the weather game.
Oh, yeah, I think that's what they'd all do. What is everybody else saying? Okay, let's say that.
That sounds good. Why not? Well, good show, guys, as always. John, appreciate your work on the ones and the twos. And congratulations to MH for the tickets. I know you'll enjoy them. Great seats. If you don't use them, I know you'll find them a good home. For Jason Jones and John Tabor, I am Jonathan Ford, publisher at BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back next time, next week, same place, same time. See you then.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Our show is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as your hotline sponsor, Fairway Cards. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.